Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code SPOTIFY for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
What's up and welcome to Kind of Funny Games Daily for Friday, May 5th, 2023. Happy Cinco de Mayo.
Blessing. May the 5th be with you.
May the 5th be with you, everybody. How are you doing, Bless?
I'm doing pretty good. I've had better weeks. I've been dealing with a weird eye thing. Mm. Yeah, my right eye has been swollen for what feels like forever. And so I've been trying to figure out some doctor's visits. And they're, don't give me the one, Bear. Take the one off me. Don't pick this but I've been like trying to organize doctor's visits. And like the healthcare system just sucks.
That's hard.
In this country. I hate it so much. And so that's how I'm doing. But I'm doing. I'm excited for next week, right? We got Zelda coming. No, God, no. God, no, Bear. Please, please, Bear. But I'm excited for next week, right? We got big games coming out. Sad about Redfall. I'm not going to talk about that on content, but like, man, I really wanted that game to be at least decent.
Have you played yet?
I'm not gonna boot it up. Like, I was looking forward to it so much as an arcane person. I've talked about so much how much I, you know, enjoyed games like Dishonored, love games like Prey, love Deathloop, and how much I believe in that studio. And then the game came out, and I was reminded. I was like, I guess they also worked on Wolfenstein Youngblood, and I hated Wolfenstein Youngblood, and this seems more akin to that. I hate seeing studios I love take L's like that, but I hope. Whatever they come out with next, I'm sure Arcane Leon is working on either the next Deathloop or the next core game in a Dishonored type thing. And so I'm hoping to see that. But it does clear out my month a bit to where I can just focus on Zelda and Lego 2K Racers.
Ooh, when's that coming out?
That's coming out at the end of the month.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
I'm so excited for the Lego 2K. I don't even know if that's the right name for it.
Yeah.
Because the name is so
generic. You're going to have to rush through Zelda. You got to get Zelda done so that you can give Lego 2K Racers the love it deserves for the what? Week maybe before
like Street Fighter and
when I so June 22nd
I'll pull up Blessing super fun game release calendar. All right, I got you.
When exactly is Diablo and when exactly is Street Fighter 6? Because I keep it in my mind just being like, oh, they're both first week of June.
Okay, so Lego 2K Drive, which is the name of the game, that's coming out May 19th, and so I got a good amount of time there where I can focus in on it. No, I'll knock that. I'll knock out Zelda before Lego. I'm a gamer. I'm a gamer. Lego 2K Drive, the big open world game that we're all looking forward to, that's going to take us weeks and weeks and weeks to play through. I'm going to pick that up on May 19th. Hopefully, I get a review code a few weeks ahead of that one.
Mm-hmm.
Street Fighter 6 is June 2nd.
June fucking 2nd.
Street Fighter 6 kicks off. When is Summer Game Fest? Because that actually scares me.
June 8th, I think.
Fuck.
Man. That is wild.
That's wild because Diablo 4 is June 6th.
Fuck. Yeah, that's going to be, we are living out here. Whether you're like playing games, games being announced, movies, the time to be alive. TV shows,
what a time to be alive.
Pop it off left and right.
Heck yeah, dude.
Man. And of course, Lego 2K Racer.
Lego 2K Drive. Let's go, man.
2K Drive. 2K
the big
Drive.
Game of the year contender for the year. I can't wait for it.
Oh, man. But we're not talking about that today. Today, we're talking about possible hints at a Superman game. We might have our movie, Johnny Cage, and more, because this is Kind of Funny Games Daily each and every weekday. We come at you with all the video game news that you need to know. You can get it, of course, live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames or youtube.com/kindoffunnygames. You can also watch it later as a video on roosterteeth.com or YouTube. If you want it as a podcast, search your favorite podcast service for Kind of Funny Games Daily, and we'll be right there for you. The cool thing is, if you want to go above and beyond. patreon.com/kindoffunny is where you want to go, where you can support the show. You can get the show ad-free. You can be a Patreon producer, just like the homie Delaney Twining. We appreciate you so very, very much. If you want to be part of the show, you got to go to kindoffunny.com/KFGD, where you can write in your questions. We might read them on the show. You can go to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong to correct us when we get things wrong, which is not going to happen today. Not on this Friday.
Not today.
Not
I don't think
today.
So. Don't say that too early, because we do have a story about Playon.
Oh, no.
We have a big story about Playon, and so that's going to come with a lot of your wrongs.
Yeah.
Because, of course, Playon is under Embracer, but also Playon also is over Deep Silver. And then, like, somewhere in there is Koch Media. No, Koch Media was Koch Media and then turned into
Playon.
They had
a confusing name, and now they don't.
Okay. Where is THQ Nordic in all this?
Remember, patreon.com/kindoffunny is where you want to go to support us to the max. A little housekeeping for you. After KFGD, we are streaming 8-player Rumble Sus, and we're giving away copies of the game in a sponsored stream. You're going to want to be there. We're going to get 8 people around this desk, I think. We're going to have a great time. It's going to be fun. Y'all should check that out. And a new PS I Love You XOXO is up right now, where they're talking about if PlayStation's at risk of having a Redfall. That sounds like a fun conversation. That's very scary.
Yeah. It was a very fun conversation. It was another one of us talking about what the live service output is going to look like for PlayStation and if we're at risk. You know, one of the things we talk about is Naughty Dog eventually is going to put out that multiplayer game that we've been working on, right? The Last of Us Factions, The Last of Us Multiplayer Game, whatever they call it. And we've seen beloved studios put out games that is different from what they're usually doing and come out and flop, right? Redfall had a lot of faith in Arcane. Mm-hmm. Boom. Flop. Cyberpunk had a lot of faith in CD Projekt Red. Boom. Flying. Like, that happens.
On the other side, we've seen a lot of success stories, right?
We've seen a lot of Guerrilla. Success stories.
They go from Resistance to Horizon.
Yep.
You know, we've seen Tango go from all their games, Evil Within and Ghostwire Tokyo, to
Hi-Fi Rush.
Hi-Fi Rush. So, you know,
hey, listen, I got faith in Naughty Dog, but my faith has proven me wrong in the past. And so go check out that episode. I think it's a fantastic conversation.
Yeah, absolutely. Other housekeeping stuff for you here. Like we've been saying, we're testing out something new right now. We're doing a post show in between Games Daily and the stream where you can write in on YouTube super chats and we'll answer your questions about stories from the show. You can also use your Twitch resub message to write in questions and we'll answer those as well. Mike or Andy will join us and we'll answer the questions. I love it. It's going to be a fun time for everybody. Today we're brought to you by Honey and Rocket Money, but we'll tell you about that later. One last bit of housekeeping I want to add here is the Jedi Survivor spoiler cast with Greg and Barrett is up now. If I remember correctly, it's a bonus episode of Gamescast. So there's 2 episodes of Gamescast this week. Is that wrong?
No, this is the Gamescast.
There was 2 Xcasts. That's what it was.
Yeah.
A lot of gaming content. A lot of great gaming content this week on Kind of Funny. But yeah, definitely.
Would you believe that even though earlier you said we're going to get nothing wrong, you've already gotten something majorly wrong?
You know, it's okay. It's okay.
How dare you say that Guerrilla made Resistance. Yeah.
Yeah.
They made Killzone. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, guys.
Honestly, I get it.
Whose problem is that? You know what I mean?
Listen.
It's fine. It's fair.
It's the same. All right? They're making the same game for a while. Killzone Resistance. Who cares? I'm just kidding. Resistance is pretty fun.
Yeah.
But still, who cares?
Yeah. My point still stands. Okay? My point still stands. But... fuck my point. For now, let's begin with whatever is and will be the Roper Report. It's time for some news. We have 5 stories today.
A Baker's Dozen.
Story number 1 is Warner Brothers Discovery boss hinting at a Superman game. This comes from Derek Strickland at Tweaktown.
I love that name for a site. It's one of those site names where whenever I see that name, I'm like, is this even reputable? Like, I've seen Tweaktown enough to where I know they're a reputable site, but the name would make you think different.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, well, like what tweaky person tweak? Like,
it's a PC gamer thing, though. Tweak tuning, like all that stuff.
Yeah.
But still, it's still funny though.
Yeah.
You know? Warner Brothers Discovery boss David Zaslav teases new games that could release alongside DC feature films, including a new Superman interactive experience. In a recent Q1 23 earnings call, WB Discovery CEO David Zaslav spoke about the power and flexibility of the company's video games profile. More specifically, Zaslav discussed how its wealth of wholly owned IP franchises could encompass all forms of interactive entertainment, from feature-length films to games. Zaslav points to Hogwarts Legacy's significant billion-dollar overperformance. Oh my God,
$1 billion
overperformance as a key example on how the company's IP could blend across movies and games moving forward, while directly mentioning the new Superman Legacy film from James Gunn. Quote, we have a very good gaming business with 11 different studios and a real talented capability. But the real differentiator for us as a company is that we own our IP. That IP belongs to us. We're developing it, and in some cases, we may choose to develop it with a third-party game technology company. It's fucking weird. I love the way he talks about that is just so like
third party
you ain't one
game
of us, homie.
Technology company. All right, you CEO of a big business.
We may be the only media company that owns, whether it be the DC Universe, Harry Potter, all the content that we own, Game of Thrones. That's for us to deploy. That's for us to deploy, bless.
Like he's like a military leader.
I think that's
deploy the Game of Thrones game.
I think it's particularly important strategically. If you look at Hogwarts Legacy, a big piece of the success of that game is that you go into it.
What?
you're gonna get into a lot of like, oh, this is a man who doesn't play games talking about video games. So prepare yourself, because that's the least of the corny shit he says.
Jacking it off. Hold on.
He's taking his jacket off.
Yeah, for audio listeners. Yeah, that was totally appropriate. If you're a player, you go into that game and you're in that world. That's kind of a new concept. Before it was gaming and it was storytelling, and now, it's very difficult to understand what the definition of the metaverse is. You're right.
I mean,
it is David Zaslav. You ain't wrong.
He's not wrong about that. It's difficult to understand.
Plus, I'm dying with this. Is the Friday shit that I needed right now.
No.
The quote continues. When we launch a product on Max or HBO, I love that they had to fucking get it in there. And when we have a game, that game belongs to us. But now there's this in-betweener. It may be the next couple of years that we launch a Superman movie, and people spend more time, and there's some more economics of people just hanging out in the Superman world and universe. What are you saying? This is fucking hilarious. The fact that we own all of that is something that I think is going to be really important as we look forward. As technology develops, and given the amount of time that people spend on gaming, we don't want to be in the motion picture and long-form storytelling business and have somebody else in the business of hanging out in those worlds. Those worlds are going to be quite profitable in the years ahead.
I know. When you started the story, did you think you were going to end up here?
No, I didn't. I thought there was going to be at least a couple more like clear hints at a Superman game. Mm-hmm. This is just a lost man who just owns a lot of things.
He owns a lot.
I own stuff.
That's exactly
I own stuff, and that stuff is owned by me.
Yeah, he's like, I don't know, man. I own Harry Potter, and I own like Game of Thrones, and I own Superman. And I guess I own video games studios, too. And so, like,
video games, there's these worlds that you go into.
You can go in there.
Is it the metaverse? Do we own the metaverse?
We might own a metaverse.
I think we own the metaverse.
We have the possibility of it. This is all so much speak from somebody who doesn't know what they're talking about, but I do think it is interesting that he brings up Superman, which could be him just spouting out IPs he owns and going, oh yeah, and this could work if we wanted to have people live and breathe in that world, but also brings up the question of, why haven't you put out a Superman game where people can live and breathe in that world, right? Like, that feels and seems like such a slam dunk, and I know we have this conversation of, how do you make a Superman game where you don't feel overpowered? How do you limit down Superman without it feeling cheap? What are the studios that make a great Superman game? And I think we bring up the Telltales a lot in terms of, just make it narrative and choice driven and not like making an action game. But I feel like realistically, we want a Superman action game, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, the Telltale thing, like, that's great and that's cool.
That's a cool
idea. Audience and whatever, but that is very different. That, to me, that a Telltale superhero game is the equivalent of comic books, superhero comic books. There are many, many, many millions of fans of comic books. There are not nearly as many fans as there are of the films, right? I think it's the same thing there, where Insomniac Spider-Man is the equivalent to major motion picture superhero movies, right? Mm-hmm. Blockbuster ones. And people want that for Superman. And I don't know if that's going to happen. I don't get the vibe that it's actually going to.
Yeah, a lot of people have run with this earnings call to say that, like, it seems like he is hinting towards it. I think he's just using Superman as an example. But I do think it is interesting when they are talking about their top IP. You know, he's talking about Harry Potter, which just sold for $1 billion, right? Like
$1 billion extra.
Yeah, like
top of what they expect.
$1 billion overperformance in terms of the Harry Potter game, right? And we talked about recently they're making a Harry Potter Quidditch game, and it's like, oh yeah, dude, make all the Harry Potter games because you're gonna make money off of it on the business side of things. I can understand exactly how you get there. I think that is going to translate to them being, all right, let's double down on IP. And weirdly enough, they've already been in that place. WB is weird and interesting because they are a video game publisher. And you can't say that about a lot of other, like, what we look at as entertainment companies that we know for comics, TV, movies, right? Like, they own the IP. And, like, honestly, and this is me repeating some of what he's saying, and actually a lot of it is legitimate. They own the IP, and they can make the video games because they have top of their class video game developers.
Yeah.
They can make an Injustice video game with NetherRealm because NetherRealm is one of the best in the game. They can make a Wonder Woman game with
Monolith.
Yeah, right? Because Monolith has put out bangers in the past. Monolith also put out their Shadows of Mortar, Shadow of Mortar, right? Like, yeah, like you can do that. And if you're going through this Rolodex of big IP that you own, you get to Superman at some point, right? Like, you announced the Wonder Woman game last year. Superman has to be around the corner, especially for the way they're talking about this now, talking about their biggest IP. Is that crazy to think that we're going to see a Superman game soon?
I don't think it's crazy to think. I don't think it's something that we should expect. I think for everything you said earlier, Superman is difficult. And I also think that Superman is not like
the top IP.
I mean, it's Batman, right? And that's kind of always been the case. But I think especially in recent times, the Game changer is the DCU, James Gunn's vision of what this is going to be. Does it turn around? Can it make Superman? Can James Gunn do for Superman what he did for Guardians of the Galaxy? And I know that's a ridiculous thing to say, but Superman is like needs a rebirth at this point, right?
After watching Guardians 3 last night, it's been the most convinced that I think he's going to fucking nail the Superman movie.
I mean, that's the
thing. Guardians 3 is so good, dude.
Right? Oh, it's so fucking good. Our interview is later today. I can't wait to talk about this movie. But like, I think that I agree with you guys. Like, I think that the DC Superman movie is going to be good. It's going to be James Gunn. I think it's going to like save Superman. Not that he fully needs saving, but I think that there's a blemish on the brand right now.
That's the thing is, I think when you talk about Superman to the mainstream, there's not really a connection in terms of this is my Superman product that I love unabashedly. There's just a lot of like mid Superman out there, unless you're like a comic book reader or if you watch the cartoons and stuff. There is. And this is me saying there's no good Superman out there, right? Because there is, but not on the movie scale. Like there are fantastic Batman movies, right? Or on the TV scale. I know there are like Superman stuff, but it doesn't resonate on that level when we talk about the big things. But I think something that's interesting you bring up is that Batman is more of a top IP when we're talking about the importance of IP. Is that true? Like, I know Batman is there in terms of quality in those bigger products, but I feel like Superman is the name when you talk about, if I went to my mom and be like, name a superhero, the first one she's naming is Superman.
I think that that's, maybe you're right about your mom, but I think that like the mainstream thing of like where we're at now, it's Batman. Batman's like one of the most Googled things every year. It has been for like 20 years at this point. Like Batman, I think because it's had so much success in so many different media where quality animated shows, quality live action movies, multiple live action quality movies, like games that were incredible. Like Batman has worked in so many different formats. And what you're saying of like a lot of people don't have their Superman, a lot of people do, but we're talking about like
the broad, like
I would
mainstream.
Say majority of people listening to the show right now have something that they're like, that's my Batman. And I'm willing to bet they don't have something that's their Superman.
I agree with that.
I don't either,
right? Like the closest thing I could think of is maybe even like Supergirl on CW, and like beyond that, I'm just not a big Superman person. But I'll play a Superman video game if they were to put one out and nail it. And I think that's the thing is WB wants to make that a thing. They want to give people their Superman. Mm-hmm. That's why James Gunn is working on the Superman movie, and he's like revamping the DC universe, and he's leading off with the Superman legacy thing. It's because Superman is the center of it all. I think that should be the case for video games as well. Like, I think people should have a Superman video game that they're able to look at and go, oh, this was the one, in the way that we look at it at the Arkham franchise for Batman, or even the Spider-Man Insomniac franchise for Spider-Man. Superman should have one of those, because Superman is one of the most popular names, or one of the most recognizable names we have for comic book superheroes. Like, he is the icon. Why don't we have that?
Yeah.
I think the tough thing is figuring out what studio would want it.
The biggest answer to why don't we have that is like it's hard. Like it's hard in so many ways. Like, but to nail Superman, like even the Rogues Gallery, like I feel like the mainstream has a familiarity with Batman villains to the point that the Joker, I would argue, is more popular than Superman. And I feel like like that alone, and I don't even think it's close at this point, but even then you go underneath Joker to the other villains. It's like I walk up to someone on the street and say, name Batman villains. They probably could. Yeah. Or even your mom. Name a Batman villain. She probably could. Name a Superman villain. It ain't happening.
Yeah. No, that's fair. That's very fair.
But anyways, like going off just the Superman side of this, like I do think it is important to talk about here. Like this guy owns a lot of shit. All right.
He does. He does.
But we've talked so much. I mean, like looking at Warner Brothers Discovery as a whole right now and seeing all the choices that they've made with every vertical that they've had, some things make sense, some things seem to not make sense at all, some things seem like bad choices. But the video game side of it has been very interesting, where we've seen some what we would call bad choices recently. Gotham Knights, everything we've seen so far, Suicide Squad, Kill the Justice League, doesn't have the same gravitas that the Arkham games had, or even Injustice, or
it's like weird that. When you go through the catalog of Hogwarts Legacy came out, and it was over $1 billion overperforming, right? Like that came out, and it was a big hit. Gotham Knights flop. Multiverses was a hit, and then kind of flopped, and then that's in that weird place of we'll see in a year, I guess. Lego Star Wars: The Skywalker Saga, I think that was good for the most part. I think people enjoyed that.
Definitely.
Then you go Back for Blood, which I forgot was WB, but they published it. Mortal Kombat, which has been a hit, right? Mortal Kombat's been killing it. and I guess you go further back to things like Shadow of Mordor and others. It's weird because I look at WB when I think of them as a publisher, generally quality, but they do have like those hit, those hits and misses.
And that's the thing is, like, I think that overall their output is, I would say, great. Like, I think that they you said it earlier, I forgot the word you used, but like they have this suite of incredibly talented developers. Like, they've got the stuff. They have the IP, they have the teams, they have the publishing side, the distribution side, everything there is like they have it. It's just a matter of, can they make the gaming side work when they're also struggling to do so many other things? Because they're they own this IP, but that means they're responsible for the IP in every form. So when the IP fails in one form, it affects it in others, right? Mm-hmm. So the kind of public understanding of Superman right now and a game coming out is like based on our understanding of Superman in movies and TV shows and all that stuff. So there's just like so many moving parts to get things right. When you get it right, it's this beautiful synergy, right? And we've seen that like with Spider-Man, the MCU, and all that stuff. But even that isn't foolproof. Guardians of the Galaxy, really good game.
Yeah.
Like, I think that the majority of people that played it like enjoyed that game, and there's a lot of good there. Didn't sell well, despite being tied to one of the biggest properties in the world. So I feel like, and that was a very talented team that has proven themselves before, and they delivered with this one. So running a game studio like side of things is extremely difficult, and when you also need to keep all these other things in mind, I'm very worried about the future of WB Games. That's really the long way of getting there, just because I feel like they need a leader at the top that's owning the game side, and it sounds like it's this guy who just likes owning stuff.
This guy is like, he's, I mean, the general WB. I guess that's a good point, actually. Does WB Games must have a head, right?
They must.
So, but they just don't have a face. They don't have somebody coming out being like, they don't have like just a face coming out and be like, hey, this is WB Games. This is what our synergy looks like. We're a family, all this stuff. Because I don't think they are a family, right? Like, I don't know if their studios work and collab together the way that we think of Ubisoft or PlayStation Studios.
Exactly.
Like, what Xbox is trying to get to.
That's my point, is like, Ubisoft. It's Ubisoft. You know all the teams are part of it. WB Games, it's kind of like...
It's like, happen to own a bunch of great developers.
They own NetherRealm. It all comes back to owning. They own NetherRealm. They own Monolith. They don't feel like partners. They don't feel like they're in the same family at all. It's just they happen to be working on DC games.
Could you imagine a WB Games where they did have that and they had somebody like a... I'm trying to think of who, maybe like a John Drake or somebody who's like, I understand video games. Mm-hmm. I understand how this stuff works, and I'm going to work with the WB Games studios to create like a video game, like cinematic universe. I might be pushing it too far, but we're creating this like holistic experience around these games, right? You might see a Superman appear in a Wonder Woman cutscene and then like end up having his own game. Like, kind of creating this family of IP, making their IP feel like more of a family of IP and pushing it in that way. That sounds like it could be incredible.
Yep.
And again, they are uniquely poised. They're uniquely positioned to be able to have something like that, right? Mm-hmm. Marvel Games, they go to developers that they think fit right with the product, which works for them because that's a really good way to do it.
Marvel Games has a leader.
Yeah, like, Marvel Games has
Marvel Games has a team that's what they're doing. That's their strategy.
Yeah.
Like, that makes so much sense. They don't own the development teams, but like that allows them to go to Insomniac, you know? But WB does own.
WB is like literally the opposite, right? Yeah. Where like they do own the IP and they own the studios and they could work together more to create something big and huge. They just don't have, it seems like, right? This is me talking as we've not ever seen a face of WB come out and really talk about it and really go, hey, this is what we're working on. They don't have somebody pulling that stuff together and trying to aim it in a direction. And I think that's how we get Gotham Knights being one game and then Hogwarts Legacy being quality.
Absolutely. There's so much of it. I love this. This is such a good conversation here. In the chat, I see All That Juice saying, video game development's hard enough without attempting to have cross-studio synergy with a shared universe. We're not saying shared universe. We're saying like the shared understanding of WB Games, what that means, and like not that every DC game needs to connect.
Yeah.
But that, like, there's an expectation of quality among them in the way that we've kind of seen with Marvel Games. And again, to your point earlier, they're not all going to hit. Not every Marvel Games game has been good. Like, some of them, Avengers.
They've been terrible.
Avengers, right? Like, but it's like at least taking the swings and all that. And to your point about John Drake, every studio should have a John Drake.
Yes.
I wish we could clone that man, because I feel like games would just be better in every single way if every studio had John Drake.
1,000%.
Running shit. But it's interesting, the DC side of things, technically James Gunn is going to be running the games. Like, he said that the games are part of the DCU and he's in charge of that stuff.
Yeah,
I don't know
about that, but
I know, like, that's again too much shit that you gotta get figured out. But
are you excited for the Wonder Woman game? Like, do you think that's gonna come out and it's gonna hit?
I'm hopeful for it. I mean, we don't know anything about it, but knowing the team, knowing their previous experience, and it's Wonder Woman, like, for all the shit that we've talked of, like, so you're telling me that Rocksteady is making a games as a service Suicide? We don't want Suicide Squad. We don't want that shit. Monolith making a Wonder Woman thing. That's like, oh yeah, that so is
this
what
makes
we,
sense.
This is what we want, right? So yeah, I think there's no reason not to be hopeful for this one.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah, I'm right there with you. I'm not a big Wonder Woman person. I think Wonder Woman 1984 might have done the most damage ever to a character for me, my perception of them. But yeah, like similar to how we talk about, like, a lot of people just don't have their Superman. I guess my Superman would be the cartoon Superman from Cartoon Network, but I digress. I don't really have my Wonder Woman either. And I, for the video game, because I like what Monolith does, I've enjoyed the Shadow of Mordor games so much. And I think the idea of just an action game where you're playing as Wonder Woman can be neat. I'm willing to go into it and be like, all right, let's see if this is my Wonder Woman. And if it hits, I think that's going to be a big thing. But it's also, I'm not excited about it necessarily. I think I'm excited for people who are excited about it. But I'm going into it like, all right, let's see what this is. I'm not a player. Yeah. I'm not a check it out.
Yeah. Interesting stuff, man. I want to move on to story number two here, Bless, if you will so allow.
I'll allow it.
Okay. Play On.
There you go. That's right.
Play On is restructuring and layoffs are planned. This comes from James Batchelor at gamesindustry.biz. Play On is restructuring its games publishing business, which is expected to result in layoffs. Sources close to the matter have told us a number of jobs are at stake as the publisher, which rebranded from Koch Media last year, merges multiple publishing labels into one. A slide from an internal presentation shared with us shows the company plans to drop three of its publishing labels, Deep Silver, Prime Matter, and Ravenscourt, and instead publish all associated titles under the Play On brand. Sources tell us the aim is to produce fewer titles at a higher quality.
Okay.
GamesIndustry.biz reached out to Play On for comment and clarification. A company representative told us the restructuring was part of simplifying our publishing operations, and that it will likely only affect around 5 to 6 jobs. The company employs over 2,000. They also emphasized that this is not an immediate change, but part of a process that will take up to 12 months. Titles may even be published under Deep Silver, Prime Matter, and Ravenscourt over the next couple of years.
So I think there's two sides of the story. One, that it sucks when layoffs happen. And of course, our heart goes out to people who may end up losing their job from this, right? It sounds like they're only talking about this likely only affect 5 to 6 jobs, which I think in the grand scheme, when you look at how many layoffs have been happening in the games industry, is on the better side of like, okay, that's a lower number. But even still, right, like that's still a number of people losing their jobs. And so I think that sucks. On the other hand, them consolidating some of these publishers is probably good, right? I know we joke a lot about, like, what the fuck is Embracer? What the fuck is, like, THQ Nordic versus all these other things? Because it's a lot of... It's weird. Embracer is, like... Embracer is a big company that is just filled with, like, a lot of mid, right? And I say this with love and respect, but, man, like, have they not put out the hits? But, you know, you look through the operating groups, and that, of course, I'm not speaking for all of them, right? Like, Crystal Dynamics is one of the operating groups / Eidos Montreal, and, like, they've had their wins. But, like, you go under that of Embracer, the big company, and you have the operating groups, Play On, THQ Nordic, et cetera, et cetera. When you go under Play On, that's where things get murky in terms of, who are you? Can you name a Ravenscourt game?
No.
I couldn't name a Ravenscourt game. Prime Matter, I know because of a very bad press conference.
I know Prime Matter from like the logo splash before some games that I didn't enjoy.
Yeah, like and that's the thing is, Prime Matter, I know because we watched that E3 showcase where we thought it was going to be Koch Media and it was going to be like Saints Row and a bunch of cool games, and it ended up being like Scars Above and like a tease of Payday 3 and then like a bunch of random other stuff. And then, like, Ravenscourt, I'm like, I don't even know. But, yeah, like, I think combining these things into one is going to do better for what they're talking about in terms of let's slow down a little bit and put out the quality. Because right now from these studios, I don't think we're seeing a lot of quality. Not many people talked about Scars Above, and that released a couple of months ago. Now, that looked like a Returnal-type game. I should be all about that game, but I heard no conversation about it. And I looked at one trailer, and I was like, all right, it seems fine. I think it's good that they're trying to lean up because it's very confusing. I'm still of the mind, though, that I think Embracer should find like a way to bring these publishers even more together and consolidate more. I mean, ideally without the layoffs.
Consolidate with branding. Like, that's the thing. It's like figuring the shit out. Like there's so many ways to tackle this story. But I think that the most important thing is like what you're saying is like these layoffs need to stop, and it sucks that they're going to continue to happen here. But this one does seem different. This does seem more just like a more traditional, normal, like, hey, we're trying to right the ship thing here, as opposed to like, hey, we're taking advantage of a really shady situation in the world right now, which a lot of the other ones in recent times have felt like. They need to figure this out, because if they want these games to work, if they want to get to quality titles, which they're saying is the goal, like, at least they're saying that, you know, and whether or not that's true, we'll have to wait and see with the results in the coming years. But at least that is the word, the lip service that they're putting out there, as opposed to what we've seen from other companies that don't have any reason for what they're doing. But yeah, I'm with you that they do need to consolidate the branding to make it more clear, so that we understand when there's any of these damn showcases. I think showcases are where it comes down to. Like, we don't need a Deep Silver showcase and a Prime Matter showcase and a Ravens Court showcase and an Embracer showcase. And
it's ridiculous. Nordic, like, we don't need all that.
Get it so that we all understand. Like, allow us to be excited about these things, where it's like, hey, we're going to see a lot of these mid games, but there might be one that's higher than mid, and that's the point.
That's the point of this. Like, if I go, I'm on the Prime Matter website right now, and I'm looking at their list of games. And if I'm going to read to you some of these games, right? They got Payday 3, which is cool. Like, people like Payday a lot, and so hopefully that comes out and is another one of those that is able to stick with people. They got Crossfire Legion, Dolmen, Mato Anomalies, Encased, Gungrave Gore. Remember Gungrave Gore?
No.
The Last Orikru, Scars Above, The Chant, Echoes of the End, Mountain Blade 3, Bannerlord. They have a working title. Well, I don't know why you would list on your website. The New Painkiller, Phoenix Point, Iron Harvest, Kingdom Come Deliverance, Outward, Wasteland 3, and then System Shock.
Yeah. I mean, yeah.
Those are some games.
Those are games. Those are games. You know what, Bless? You're right.
Yeah.
When you're right, you're right.
Listen.
Yeah.
Prime Matter, we put out games.
Play on, everybody.
Yeah.
Play on.
I hope System Shock is good. I know people are excited about that one.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. Hey, everybody. Check out patreon.com/kindoffunny to get the show ad-free. But for everyone else, here's some ads. Shout out to Honey for sponsoring this episode. Honey is the easy way to save when shopping on your iPhone or computer. Thanks to Honey, manually searching for coupon codes is a thing of the past. And we all know there's nothing better than the feeling of saving money. Honey's the free shopping tool that scours the internet for promo codes and applies the best one it finds to your cart. Here's how it works. Imagine you're shopping on one of your favorite sites. When you check out, the Honey button appears, and all you have to do is click apply coupons. You wait a few seconds as the Honey guy dances. It searches for coupons it can find for the site, and if it finds a working coupon, you will watch the prices drop. We here at Kind of Funny have been using Honey for years, and it has literally saved us thousands on tech, costumes, food, you name it. Honestly, I just love how easy it is to set, forget, and save. Honey doesn't just work on desktops, it also works on your iPhone. You just activate it on Safari on your phone, save on the go. And if you don't already have Honey, you could be straight up missing out. By getting it, you'll be doing yourself a solid and supporting this show. You can get PayPal Honey for free at joinhoney.com/kindoffunny. That's joinhoney.com/kindoffunny. Shout out to Rocket Money for sponsoring this episode. We all love gobbling up content, and we have an understanding of what subscriptions we use. Or do we? Do you know how much your subscriptions really cost? Most Americans think they spend around $80 a month on subscriptions, when the actual total is closer to $200. That's right. You out there, you could be wasting hundreds of dollars each month on subscriptions you don't even know about. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions. It monitors your spending, and it helps you lower your bills, all in one place. Rocket Money has saved some of us here at Kind of Funny a ton of money, and it can help you too. Stop throwing away your money. Cancel unwanted subscriptions and manage your expenses the easy way by going to rocketmoney.com/kindoffunny. That's rocketmoney.com/kindoffunny. rocketmoney.com/kindoffunny.
If you're an athlete, you know the greatest motivator of all is the fear of letting your teammates down. After all, a team is only as good as its weakest link. So you owe it to those wearing the same jersey as you to be your best every time you step on the field. That's why there's no vape in team. When you vape, you can expose your lungs to toxic chemicals that can damage your lungs. If you're a step behind, the team's a step behind. Brought to you by The Real Cost and the FDA.
Some breaking news, everybody. Nintendo tweeted, get ready for Legend of Zelda fans. We will be hosting a special live stream leading up to the Nintendo New York City midnight launch of Tears of the Kingdom. You can tune in on May 11th, Alfredo Diaz's birthday, starting at 6:45 p.m. PT, 9:45 Eastern, to watch Nintendo Treehouse Live and more.
Really quick, I just want to shout out your breaking news little jingle. It sounds like the beginning of the Cowboy Bebop theme song.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I like that. Call.
What a freaking slap, man.
That right there is a slap.
Let's go.
For sure.
But yeah, cool. I think it's just going to be like a more fun like launch event thing. I don't think there's going to be any news from it or anything like that.
Yeah.
But
this is one of the times where like I wish I could be there for the midnight launch, right? Like be in New York, be at Nintendo Nintendo store?
Nintendo World.
Like
have you been there?
To the Nintendo store in New York once, yeah. It was cool. It was really cool. Yeah, I liked it a lot. I still got to go to Super Mario World though in LA. One of these days I'll go, but yeah, that's very exciting. I think it makes sense for them to do this, and I'm hoping this is like a special time. I'm hoping we all come together and we're like, oh man, a video game we've been waiting years and years and years for is finally come out. Let's all bond. Let's all have a good time. I want that energy for this, and so go get him, Nintendo.
Go get him, Nintendo. Story number three, Mortal Kombat 2, the movie, may have found its Johnny Cage. This comes from Alex Stedman at IGN. Mortal Kombat 2 is closing in on its Johnny Cage. Carl Urban is in final negotiations to play the iconic game character in the sequel to 2021's Mortal Kombat, a source close to the production confirms to IGN. The Rap first broke the news. For his part, Urban's no stranger to massive franchises. He's currently starring in Prime Video's superhero satire, The Boys, which wrapped production on season 4 last month. Hell yes.
That's good.
And previously appeared in Lord of the Rings trilogy, the Star Trek movies, and Chronicles of Riddick series and Thor Ragnarok. Really fucking cool. I feel like The Miz was the obvious answer, and they were kind of like pushing for it. Yeah, they robbed
The Miz. But I do like Carl Urban.
That's my thing. I can't be mad at my boy.
It's a good casting.
Yeah.
It's a good casting. I'm excited to hopefully see him play like a different character than we see him play in the. Like, I feel like that is when I think of Carl Urban, I think of his boys character specifically, and I feel like I usually see him in that kind of role. I didn't watch Lord of the Rings, and I never will. and so I'm used to.
Have you watched Star Trek?
No.
Okay, well, you should. And he's not that character at all.
No, is he not?
No. God, he's so good.
I just associate him
so good
with just that boy's character. That's all I know of Carl Urban. I'm sure I've seen him in something else, but like
Thor Ragnarok.
Yeah, and I feel like he's kind of that character too in Thor Ragnarok.
He's kind of more of a bumbling idiot guy with guns. Kind of but
isn't that the same thing as the boys? He's a bumbling idiot.
No, he's not an idiot at all. He's a rough, tough badass
who's really depressed and an alcoholic. You know, like.
He's an idiot in both.
You gotta see Star Trek 2009. I'm not saying watch all of them, just the first movie. I think you're going to love it.
But also Star Trek Beyond also kicks ass.
I'm not trying to oversell. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
I think we can get him on one. Anyway, Carl Urban's a fucking boss.
Yeah.
I'd love him as this.
I like, imagining him in this role as like the Hollywood, you know, sunglasses on. I'm better than everybody, but also I'm kicking ass. Mm-hmm. I want to see him pull out some martial arts. I want to see Carl Urban really like, you know, do the punches and kicks.
Oh, fuck yeah.
I want him to see him do like one of those jump kicks.
Well, see, that's why I think The Miz would have been so good.
Yeah.
The Miz just looks right. For the part, and he moves right, and he has just that
he is
Hollywood, man. Like it totally works. But yeah, I'm excited for Carl Urban being a part of this movie because I feel like the Mortal Kombat movies need a bit more like star power. Because the last one, fun movie, but like not good. And I think the biggest issue with the film was the fact that its main character was like a fucking original creation.
1000%
was lame as shit.
And it felt like a character.
Yeah, exactly.
What was his name? Cole Young.
Oh my, Cole something or other.
Yeah,
but it was not entertaining.
No.
I'm
hoping that
Batman showed up on a reality show called Bling Empire. Started dating.
Oh, I've heard of Bling Empire.
Yeah, he dated one of them for a while. I don't know if they're still together. I hope so.
Interesting. Yeah. I'm hoping Johnny Cage is like the main character of this one. There you go. Just act like Cole Young didn't exist.
Yeah, exactly. Dude.
I'd be so down for that.
Oh my god. Pull a Mortal Kombat Deception. Movie starts off. Cole Young is dead.
Dude. And then he comes back as zombie Cole Young.
Fine. If they must.
If they do that, I'd be down for it. Yeah.
Anyway, excited about this. We'll see where it goes. But, hey, man, Carl Urban, man. Put him in everything. He's a fucking gem.
He seems cool.
Story number four. Riot Games will compensate 1,548 women for gender discrimination. This comes from Anthony Wood at IGN. Over 1,500 Riot Games and hundreds of Activision Blizzard workers are receiving compensation after the companies settled lawsuits for gender discrimination, workplace harassment, and other serious grievances. As reported by Axios, the new details come by way of a court filing by Rust Consulting, which managed the settlement process on behalf of the claimants. Back in 2021, Riot Games settled a class action gender discrimination lawsuit, agreeing to pay former and current workers compensation from a pool of $100 million. According to the new filing, each of the over 1,500 claimants will receive an initial payment ranging from $2,500 to $5,000, with additional damages up to a cap of $40,000 also paid out, depending on whether the worker was a contractor or full-time staff and the length of time spent at the company. Seven individuals opted out of the settlement. The legal action against Riot Games began in 2018 when two employees, one current and one former, sued the company following the release of a damning investigative report by Kotaku, which laid bare the culture of sexual discrimination and harassment that had taken root at the company. The plaintiffs also sought damages for breaches relating to the California Equal Pay Act. Treat people right. Don't get to the point where you need to get sued for being an asshole.
Yeah, I'm glad that these workers are getting their money. Love to see that. This, of course, has been an ongoing story for years and years. I feel like Riot was one of the first of like the major, hey, this workplace sucks for a certain group of people working here, right? Like, there's a lot of discrimination against women, and the work environment here is toxic and very masculine in terms of what they're pushing and what the work culture is here, and we need to fix this. Riot is like the earliest one I can remember in terms of like it coming out in a big magnitude and like it being part of that, of like the current wave we see of people calling out workplaces and trying to fight for better work conditions and all that. And so it's nice to see this coming down on Riot having to pay up and actually like make good on paying these workers. I think that's awesome. I also do want to give a compliment to Kotaku here, right? Because as this article mentions, there was a damning investigative report from Kotaku about the sexual discrimination and harassment taking place at the company. And that's why we have to value outlets like Kotaku. Like, I've seen Kotaku getting shit for the last week for various reasons. And like, you know, I stand on certain places on what that conversation
just
is.
To jump in real quick here, yeah. I think it's important to remind people, Kotaku is not one person. It is many people.
Yes.
So you cannot like what one person did and like what someone else did and all of that. That's how this was.
1,000%. They're an outlet made up of many different people. And like, you might have certain opinions about that outlet, but I think one thing that I will always respect Kotaku for is the fact that they're able to come out and do actual real journalism work and it have an impact like this, where Riot's exposed for the work culture and then people get compensated and people are able to be treated better because the company culture has to change. That is the value of an outlet like Kotaku. And so I hope they keep doing their thing. I hope they keep publishing reports like this. And I hope that big companies that have all the money in the world stop mistreating their workers. Go get them.
Go get them. Story number five, Destiny 2 is raising the price of its season pass. This comes from Travis Northup at IGN. On its blog today, Destiny 2 creator Bungie announced a price increase for its standalone season passes, which grant players access to limited time activities and story content every 3 months. Going forward, Bungie will ask Destiny 2 players to pay 20% more each season, up from $10 to $12 per season. Bungie simultaneously announced it will charge 10% more for its season pass rank bonus. Did they really say it in percentages? Because that's fucking weird. For its season pass rank bundles, which speed up the process of maxing out each season's loot-filled progress bar. This increase will see the plus 10 ranks bundle go from $20 to $22. While this will impact anyone who has been buying season passes in Destiny a la carte, the price increase does not affect those who already bought the full year of seasonal access via the deluxe version of Destiny 2 Lightfall, at least not until the next major expansion currently slated for next year, The Final Shape.
The Final Shape.
The Final Shape.
They're running out of names for expansions. The Final Shape, that's what you came up with? Like, Lightfall was so cool. Like, the Forsaken, that's a cool one. The Final Shape.
Yeah.
Like, they're going to create a new one?
I feel like The Final Shape, the logo is going to look like the Inside Out logo from Pixar, just like the light.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm talking about? I fucked that up. But yeah. You get what I'm saying, though. You get what I'm saying. All right, everybody? Somebody Photoshop it. It'll make more sense. All right.
Cool. Yeah, yes. I got nothing to say about this because I'm not a big Destiny person, but also like things get more expensive. Video games have gotten more expensive. Destiny is for in a way free to play now, right? I know you're paying for expansions, but they got to make their money somehow. And like a $2 increase from $10 to $12, and like for the other thing, right? For going from $20 to $22 for the bundle, that doesn't seem that crazy.
Yeah, so. I mean that's the thing is like this like it's a business. Games cost money. They need to make money to be made and all of that. So I totally get it. I do think that like the number seems very nominal. Like this seems like it's not really like a big enough shift to bring that much to them. But I'm sure that they have bean counters that figured it out that is what they need to do. And they're like, we're not trying to overcharge for this. We're trying to like just get what we need. So,
I mean, if you have what, like a million players that are buying this season pass every season, that's $2 million more dollars you're making per season.
Yeah.
$8 million by the end of the year. If there's four seasons in a year, is that how Destiny seasons work? I don't know how that works.
They're saying three here, right? Content every 3 months.
Okay. So yeah.
Road of three, that's four. Yeah.
Yeah. Cool. So they're making that money.
The math be mathing.
The math be mathing, Tim. I don't know what to tell you. Happy Friday. It's Friday, everybody.
Happy Friday, everybody. You know what I do know what to tell you, Bless?
What's that?
What the fuck's coming to mom and grop shops today? But where would I look if I wanted to tell you that?
You would look toward the official list of upcoming software across each and every platform as listed by the Kinda Funny Games Daily Show hosts each and every weekday.
Ooh,
kind of a jazzy vibe there.
Yeah, that was fun.
It's always been jazz.
That was a good jazz.
Thank you. Thank you.
Man, yesterday when they were doing the May the 4th stream, which was hilarious. Everyone should go check that out. YouTube.com/kindoffunnygames. And he kept trying to play the like cantina music and stuff. Mm. And he was doing the Andy thing where like
he was trying to play jizz.
Yeah. He got it like maybe 60% of the way. And my brother fucking just walks and goes, oh, is that jizz music? And, like,
cool, I mean, Greg. He nailed it. Like,
he
that's
fucking
what,
nailed
that's what
it.
They
but
call
Cool
it.
Greg asking if it's the jizz music is just fucking. It sends me, everybody. Listen, hilarious.
I know the jizz music, and that's not it. The jizz music is like, it's what? It's the, I don't know the jingle, the Pornhub jingle is what I was going to do. I was going to hum that.
You don't know it.
I don't know it off
he
the top.
He doesn't know it. Yeah, okay. Everybody.
Oh, I was going to sing it, but like what came to mind was the KFGD like
version of it.
Yeah. Wait, are those similar? Am I crazy, or are those like similar tunes? Like,
for April Fool's last, or 2 years ago, we did a Pornhub Kinda Funny jingle, which is I think what where we announced we're gonna do Pornhub and review, we're gonna rank, review, and recap every Pornhub video.
We should do that.
Out today, Hogwarts Legacy on PlayStation 4 and Xbox One, Demon Skin, ew, on PS4, PS5, Xbox One, Xbox Series X, and Switch. Duru, a game about mole rats and depression, on PC. And then Marvel Spider-Man Remastered Standalone Edition on PS5.
Did you ever learn the naked mole rap from Kim Possible?
You know?
You're too old for that, weren't you?
No.
No? Okay.
No. I feel like it's one of those things, if I had the first line or so, it would just come back to me.
Yo, listen up. Mind. That's the name. That's the first word.
Yeah, keep
first
going.
Line. Yo, listen up. It's a holla for a Ron. Naked mole rap is the name of the song.
You know what? No.
Here's the story.
I know the song, but I know the song. I don't know the words, though. Keep going, though.
You know,
sorry,
what the, you know
give
what
the one and then go
I
on.
I mean, I don't know all the words, but you know
try
what the
right
truth,
now.
You know what the truth is? How Ron met Rufus. Never seen a cat bark. Never seen a puppy. Never seen a puppy. Fuck. Never seen a cat bark. Never seen a puppy purr. My dad's allergic to every kind of fur. So he searched up hairy pets on the internet. Saw a JPEG of a pink thing. Gonna need sunscreen.
Yeah.
That's the first verse. That's the whole first verse. I'm not gonna do the rest.
I love it though. That is. Congratulations. Everybody.
Thank you.
You all got to see that, okay?
Thank you. I had to dig deep into the memory chambers for that one.
That was fantastic.
That had a dope beat, too. Like, we had that on CD.
Mm-hmm.
Great times.
Back in my day, we had the Rugrats rat.
How'd that go?
It was like, Tommy, Chuck, you feeling little Susie? Ha, 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 ha. It's the Rugrats from under the mat. It's the Rugrats. It's the Rugrats.
That also went hard.
Yeah, it was so good.
What was that from? Like an episode?
It was like one of those weird, like, once the episode ends, it would be like...
Oh, like an interstitial.
A little interstitial thing. And then they would just play it in between every commercial on Nickelodeon for years.
Can you do the pokey rap?
The pokey rap?
Yeah.
Electro, Diggalit, Nidoran, Mankey, Venusaur, Rattata,
Dragonite,
Gastly, Polyrath, Polyrath, Butterfree. I can keep going, but
there's
I'm
no
not
reason
going
why,
to.
Like, I shouldn't have asked that. I already
you
know.
You shouldn't
already
ask that. New dates for you. Harmony, The Fall, or Reverie. Yeah, Fall or Reverie, not of Reverie.
I think it was supposed to be of Reverie, and this typo from where
Harmony, the Fall of Reverie is coming June 8th on Switch and PC, and June 22nd on Xbox Series and PlayStation 5.
That's the really interesting looking Don't Nod game.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, that looks a bit more like 2D art style, but still doing their narrative stuff.
Yeah. We saw that at the Xbox showcase last year, right?
Maybe. I feel like we saw it more recently. It might have been on a Nintendo indie thing. This is a kind of funny.com/you're wrong.
Yeah, yeah, I'm pretty sure we saw this one at the showcase. But
Barry, you got it. Barry, by the way, you're gonna have to do the DK rap at some point during this episode.
Absolutely.
It was a lot of rap back then.
Oh, there was the 90s, man. Dude. Crazy time. And I guess early 2000s for Kim Possible. Which okay. How it's Will Friedle doing that rap.
Yeah.
It's Eric Matthews from Boy Meets World.
And like you listen to that rap and you're like, yep, that's Eric Matthews. That's him. Matthews. That's his voice.
Oh man, that's great. And then Bugsnax coming to iOS, iPadOS, and tvOS this summer. All of the Apple devices. DJ Brad Chill writes in to kindoffunny.com/KFGD, just like you can. Saying, what's good, guys? I don't want to beat a dead horse, but I have some thoughts brewing about Phil's comments from the XCast addressing the fact that great games won't dramatically shift the console market in Xbox's favor. Keyword here that a lot of people are missing is dramatically. I see both sides of the coin that Phil alludes to and which you all have discussed in length, but a real-world analog has come to mind, the Wii U. The Wii U had some legitimate high-quality first-party games in its lineup and was seen as a complete failure in many ways, but many of those games found Mondo success when they were ported to Switch. I feel like that may be a good example of great games not always carrying the influence we expect them to, and more the general opinion of the platform itself goes a long way for success. Would love to hear your thoughts on that. Thankful for you guys, and congratulations to the XCast for a breakout episode that's getting so much love. Yeah, just starting there real quick. Thank you all for showing so much love to this episode of XCast.
Hell
it's
yeah.
Been so freaking cool to see. We were just talking, we had our production meeting today, and currently it's over 200,000 views. It was trending number 5 on all of YouTube yesterday.
Let's go.
We got 2,000 new subscribers on YouTube. That's huge for us. So all of that stuff is incredibly cool, and it's all because the incredible work that everyone here does. But extra shout out to Mike, to Barrett, to Gary, to Paris, everyone that was part of that XCast, doing such a good job that Phil and the Xbox team wanted to come to us. Yep. I think that's like a very important thing. It's not just like people always ask, like, why don't you guys just get Nintendo? Why don't you get PlayStation? Trust me, we would. Like Xbox comes to us because they like us and they like the XCast, and they know that they understand the work we put in, and they know the job that we're going to do. So love that, and it's because of your support that we get to do things like that, and that we get these opportunities. Now that that's all over, addressing this, I do think that anytime somebody says something, you can take what you want from it, and then you can like add as much weight to any single statement as you personally want to prove the point that you're trying to make. Him talking about software, like the quality of the software dramatically changing the amount of systems sold, I think from listening to the XCast, my takeaway from it was he was saying that no matter what they do at this point, they're not going to catch up to the Switch or PlayStation 5, which I think is completely true.
I think that's valid, yeah.
Yeah. But I also do think that if there were more higher quality games, it would sell more hardware. But Phil's not saying that it won't sell more. He's saying dramatic to the point of catching up to where the other guys are, which I just think is actually impossible at that point.
Yeah, like I think you got to look at these things with the context of the conversation they're having. And a lot of people on the internet were taking that out of context in terms of, oh, Phil's saying that they don't need that, like, great games won't sell Xboxes. It's like, no, that's not what he's saying. He's talking about being in third place, which alone, him mentioning that was one of the many things listening to the interview that blew my mind. Like, while I was sitting out there watching it live, right, as it was happening, it was me, Roger, Greg, and Joey. And there's so many moments where, like, me and Roger just, like, looked at each other, like, did he just say that? Oh, my God. And, like, when Phil addressed Xbox as being, like, yeah, it's tough when you're the guys in third place and, like, you know, trying to talk about how to move and shift things. And immediately I looked at Roger, and we're like, dude, like, I don't think I've ever heard a company come out like that and be like, yeah, we're in third place. Like, we're not one of the lead manufacturers in this industry right now. One, that was really honest. But then also, yeah, following up within that context of that conversation, talking about how we can put out great games. People aren't going to sell their PS5s to get Xboxes, right? People are going to get Xboxes. And I think that's the part where I don't disagree with Phil necessarily, but I think it is a valid strategy to go, we're going to put out top tier first party games and have that be a core part of the strategy and try to sell as much Xboxes as possible and have that be our key to success. I think that is a very valid way to be successful. I think there's a lot of merit and value in that. But he is specifically in that moment was talking about shifting the tides in terms of becoming or surpassing Nintendo and PlayStation. And yeah, like, that's not going to happen. And I think that was very fascinating in terms of enlightening the fact of, hey, this is why Game Pass is part of our core strategy. He didn't say that, but that was my read on it. I assume that's many people's read on it, right? Of, hey, the PS4, Xbox One generation was the worst generation to lose because people are locked in now. I knew I was going to buy a PS5 because I have so many games from PS4 and I can carry that library over.
Yeah.
I'm sure that's true for a majority of people out there, and that's just how things are going to be from now going on forward. Yeah, you want to give people Game Pass. You want to give people this backlog of library so that when they come into your platform, they don't feel like they're starting from a new game. They don't feel like they're cutting themselves off from this thing that they've built. I think that is a very... I think that thought coming from Phil makes sense. It helped me like visualize, oh, this is why Xbox is the way it is. This is why they're moving the way they're moving. This is why they're trying to make cloud and Game Pass and everything about their ecosystem.
Their business,
right? Because that's the only way that they can shift tide right now is by going, here are all the reasons you can enter the ecosystem that aren't just the games. Like, the games are important. And like, I don't think Phil would ever come out and be like, you know, great games aren't important. Like, that's not what he's saying.
That's not what he's saying at all.
Yeah.
And, you know, like going back to this Wii U thing, which I do think there's a lot of interesting parallels, but I think that those parallels continue to where we're at here. You talking about Game Pass and all that being their strategy. I feel like it is the hardware or the experience itself applied to the rollout of the quality games or the lack of quality games that's really going to affect things one way or another. You look at the Wii U, I loved my Wii U. I loved the games that I had on it. I understand why other people didn't like the Wii U, but... everyone knows now how great those Wii U games were because everyone played them on Switch. Why did that work? Because people wanted to play the Switch. The Switch worked. The concept worked. People bought into it and made sense. The concept of the Wii U did not make sense. When the Wii came out, people played tennis for the first time. They got it. They're like, this is the promise, and it is being delivered to us. We understand it and get it. The Wii U never had that moment. Nintendo Land was nifty. It was fine. It was cool. I enjoyed it a lot. But it wasn't this like experience that's like, oh, games from now on are going to have this. The DS is another good example. The first time that you played a game that was like, to this day, there are games you can only play on DS because they were made for that format and for that system. And that made so much sense. It sold super well, had such an amazing library of games. The Wii U, its titles weren't ever that special for what the Wii U was offering.
Yeah.
And people didn't want to play with those weird controllers or didn't want to buy this other system without the promise of we're going to get something extra special here. Then the Switch comes out. The promise was you can take it on the go or you can dock it. It fucking worked. And then they're like, cool, we can now, because the games didn't have anything special tied to the Wii U, we can easily port them over here, right? And I think that that's where you see the success of all that stuff. But it is proof that like just the games isn't enough. But I don't think anyone's saying that. It's the games plus... the hardware, or these days, software, cloud, whatever you want to call it, like where you're playing the games, that matters. In addition to, it's the strategy plus the game's quality plus the rollout plan, the scheduling of that. You can't just like not have great games for a couple of years and then, oh, at the end of the life cycle, here's some great games. That's not how it works, right? Like things get messy. Like then you look, most people don't think of Breath of the Wild as a Wii U game.
No,
even though it was on Wii U.
Yeah,
you know.
That's my thing is, you know, I think when we talk about the Wii U library, I don't think the Wii U library is objectively fantastic. I think it is personal.
Oh, yes, it is.
It's fine.
Dude, no, it's not. Think about it.
There's no 3D Mario or...
3D, yes, there is. Mario 3D World.
I don't count.
What do you mean that doesn't count?
I would play any other 3D Mario aside from Sunshine over 3D World.
So all four of them? We're talking about... Cool, great. We like, this
if they put out a Galaxy 3 on the Wii U, that would actually make me consider buying a Wii U for Galaxy 3. Like Mario 3D World is like just another. It felt like this is gonna sound like hate towards Mario 3D World. I really do enjoy Mario 3D World.
Fantastic Mario game. Man.
It's not a system seller for me though. Like a Mario Galaxy 3 or a Mario Odyssey is a system seller. Mario 3D World was a dope Mario game on a Nintendo platform. Every Nintendo platform has dope Mario games on it.
I'm almost positive that Mario 3D World sold more, but...
I mean, sure.
Maybe not like on Wii U, but...
For me, sales ability isn't the same as, like, selling a platform, right? Like, you can have a lot of sales and not sell the console. But also, like, same with Zelda. I know Breath of the Wild technically was on the Wii U. It was also on the Switch. And so why would I buy a Wii U for Breath of the Wild, right? Like, I think missing out on those two, the two core things that you've gotten on every Nintendo platform... lessens that library quite a bit. And then like what would you say are the best games on the Wii U? Smash Brothers?
Smash, Mario Kart.
Mario Kart, and Mario Kart was early on too.
Yeah, I mean, think of the Smash library, right?
But like that's every other Nintendo platform.
But
like
they're the best versions.
But they're not anymore.
But like, I mean,
but at the time,
yeah, like
I don't know, like for me, I think you need way more than that.
Now in context, when we're thinking about what was going on at like 10 years ago,
PS3 didn't have any hits because you know,
PS4 Last had of so Us, many.
remake's better.
Yeah, but like PS3 had more like bangers though, right? Like I think we're talking about the Wii U. You gotta have
PS3 had more bangers than the Wii U.
Yes.
I mean, my thing is I don't think that is like definitively true. I think at the end of the day, PS3 wins. I want that clear. I'm not making the argument that Wii U wins. I'm just saying I don't think that it's like they're in completely different leagues.
It's a Nintendo platform where like we're like, oh yeah, the best games were Smash and 3D World? I forget the other game that we said.
Yeah, 3D World, Smash Mario Kart, Mario,
3D and Mario World. Kart.
Also
Xenoblade,
new Super Mario Brothers.
That's something that every platform, every Nintendo platform has.
But that's what Nintendo platforms are. They play Nintendo games. Yeah. What do PlayStation games do? They play PlayStation games.
I guess for me, I look at the Switch, and I even look at like I look at other Nintendo platforms as having way more than that, right? Like the Super Nintendo had an iconic Zelda game that was exclusive
Tropical
to it, right?
Freeze.
That had Super Mario World. Okay, cool.
Shovel Knight at first.
Too. Okay, cool.
Tropical Freeze.
One of the greatest 2D platformers ever of all time across any platform.
All right. Was it a system seller?
What was your Wii U versus Vita thing, right?
Yeah. Who won that argument, by the way? This you motherfucker. Did.
Let's
just say
it again. Roger, get it on the socials. If somebody had the better software lineup, the Wii U or the PS3?
If somebody came to you and they're like, you can choose only one Nintendo software library for a platform, right? Like, here are all these Nintendo consoles. You can only play one library.
I'm taking Wii U over Wii, I'm telling you right now.
I wouldn't. I'll put the Wii over the Wii U.
Yeah, I mean, name the games.
For the Wii?
Yeah.
Smash Brawl, Mario Kart, Mario Galaxy 1 and 2, Twilight Princess, Skyward Sword, Need I Go On, New Super Mario Brothers.
Yeah, I mean, my thing is, like, I think that a lot of the games you named, the Wii U versions are better.
Yeah.
Mario Kart, Princess. Way better than Mario Kart Wii.
Yeah, Twilight Princess, the definitive version for a while was the GameCube version. And then you could play that version essentially on Wii U. Skyward Sword is fine, very overhyped at the time of release. And then
Wind Waker
Wii U
HD,
also
baby.
Got Wind Waker HD, which the Switch doesn't even have.
Yeah, I also got Wii Sports. I didn't even name Wii Sports. That's a great one. am I crazy, Andy? Am I insane here?
I don't know. Put up the poll.
Wii U library was fine, is what I'm saying.
Nintendo makes bangers. Not fantastic. That's what I'm saying. Doesn't matter what fucking generation, every single one is a W, baby! For the games. I don't even know where the fuck I am anymore. You're wrong. That's where we are.
Wait, you're saying I'm wrong or I'm kind of thinking the concept you're wrong?
Let's see what people have to say here. Kindoffunny.com/you're wrong. I was already corrected here, but I said Gorilla made Resistance. They made Killzone. That is correct.
Nano says Carl Urban is also in Lord of the Rings. Nano? I swear to God, Nano.
Swear to God, Nano. GK Sam 10 says David Haddad is the current president of WB Interactive Entertainment. He stuck around despite most of the other Warner leadership being cleared out after the Discovery deal, which is interesting. Borzen 00 says the final shape is called that because we're going to discover the final shape of the universe. Okay.
Fucking nerds.
Yeah. And then Nano says that Harmony, the Fall of Reverie was revealed at the Nintendo Showcase, not the Xbox Showcase last year. What am I thinking about? There was the Xbox Showcase that looked, that trailer we saw there didn't give me enough, but where it was the Limbo team, right? Is that what we were talking about?
No.
Okay.
This was Don't Nod. So like
okay, that's where I got.
Are you thinking of Cocoon?
I don't know, but because remember there was like two Limbo type games from the team.
Yeah, there was the one that came out in November.
You played it.
I played it and reviewed it.
Fuck. Harrowfield. Heroin.
What was that game called? It's something field. It's the name of a town. It's the name of the town.
Somerville.
There we go. Yeah. And then there was the other one that I thought it was
Cocoon.
Cocoon. Okay, cool.
Cocoon?
Cocoon? Cocoon? What?
Cocoon.
Cocoon. Oh, just like Cocoon.
Yeah, it's a Cocoon. Yeah.
Jesus.
Cocoon.
What a fucking Friday, everybody. And we're just starting, man. We're about to head
out. Also, of all the people that are in the chat talking about, oh man, Blessing's wrong, Blessing's all, oh, bad take, bad take, bad take. Why didn't you buy a fucking Wii U? It didn't sell because the library was mid.
That's not it. No,
it was
mid. No.
It was a mid
library. Did you listen to what I said this entire time? The Wii U didn't sell because nobody wanted the hardware and the promise was never sold. That's why it didn't sell.
It was both.
No, it's not because the library wasn't there. It's not that at all.
All the Nintendo Directs during that period were all so excited for
them. The library was continuously great. It was the hardware that got in the way.
Was that not the era of Nintendo Directs where every Nintendo Direct were like, oh, this is boring. This is not it.
That's. I mean, that is that different than now? That's always, man. People just fucking hate. They hate everything.
All right.
Next week's host, we have me and Greg on Monday. And then fucking finally, unless it gets taken from me, Tuesday, me and Lucy James will be hosting for the first time. Wednesday, Blessing and Greg. Thursday, Blessing and me. Friday, me and Blessing. Fantastic. Fantastic stuff. Remember, if we're watching live right now, Andy's about to join us. We're about to answer all of your super chats. So go to youtube.com/kindoffunnygames to get all them things prepped. Write in your thoughts. If you're, it doesn't even need to be a question. If you just want to make a statement to us about your thoughts on the Vita, the Wii U, the fucking, I don't even give
a
shit.
He said the Wii U library is better than the PS3 library.
I did not say that.
He said it was an argument, though.
Do not put words in my mouth.
He said it was debatable.
No.
What'd you say? What did you say?
You did say it was.
I'm saying that it's not like fucking like, oh my God, there's not a fucking chance in hell. Like, that's all I'm saying. Is it's not like the Wii U. My point is the Wii U library is fucking
GTA
fantastic.
5.
Oh, yeah. We're counting third-party
like,
games
congratulations.
Now?
Congratulations.
Okay, well, yes, I am, because there's no third-party games on the Wii U.
That's Zombie U?
Okay.
Zombie U!
Sorry, I forgot about Assassin's Creed 3 and the Mass Effect game that had been out forever.
Arkham City?
I am including third-party
Lego
games.
Lego City Undercover? And Pikmin.
This is off the rails. This is so off the rails.
All right, we're going to finish this, and we're going to keep this energy going, though, okay? With all the YouTube super chats. And then we're going to do the fun stream, and then we're going to do more streams. And then we're going to do in review of Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3 for patreon.com/kindoffunny supporters. I love you all. I'm feeling a little lightheaded. let us know in the comments below.
We're gonna yell more in this post. I'm gonna tell you right now. I'm gonna yell
more. Oh, yeah. So we're going to have fun. But until next time, I love you all. It's been our pleasure to serve you.